And now on this episode of Miami Mic'd Up, as the Heat are in the midst of their run toward the postseason, I have Miami Heat center Thomas Bryant with me. Thomas, thanks so much for taking some time to chat with me today on Miami Mic'd Up.
Man, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, it's good to see you, and we'll get to some of the basketball stuff in a second. I want to start you with this question. What's something recently outside of work, outside of basketball, that has brought you joy?
I would say actually doing like a little bit of conditioning outside of the facility, like running, jogging, getting to see the city of Miami, like seeing the downtown Brickell area.
You're just running through the city?
Yeah, I just been walking and running through the city and everything, having my dog with me and, you know, just seeing everything. And it's been very nice. It's been very, very nice.
What type of dog do you have that's getting in that conditioning with you?
I have a Labrador.
Oh, man. All right. People got to be stopping you all the time, I would imagine. At least maybe even if not for pictures with you, for pictures with the dog.
Yeah, it's mostly my boy, man.
that's hilarious. Well, headed toward, you know, talking about the basketball a little bit, we just recently spoke in the winner's circle just a couple of nights ago after your game with 26 points, 12 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals. I don't know if you know this, but you were the first player in NBA history to record those stats in 23 minutes or less in a game. So that was the level of efficiency that you were playing with. First of all, when I tell you that stat, what does that blow your mind? I see your face in the way that's coming up. But when you're in that type of zone, I mean, I'm a guy who's like hit a few threes in a pickup game before, so I'll never understand the type of feeling that you were probably going through as you were getting that hot in that game. So can you explain to sort of the layman what it feels like when you're playing that well on the offensive end?
Well, I really had no idea that I did that till you said something. So I appreciate you for telling me that.
Absolutely.
Really, it was just all about coach was just trying to emphasize of just trying to show our best versions of each other and trying to go out there and really create a win and, you know, find some rhythm that can really catapult us in the right direction. And for me, it was just all about just trying to play the right way. You know, going out there with my best intentions to play the game the best way that we can for this team to get a win. And luckily, it worked out in our favor. You know, all I wanted to do was try and be a part of one of the guys that helped gain a win for the team. I didn't know I was making history. I was making history. So that's actually a plus side to it right there.
Well, you guys were also making history as a team, winning by 60 points. It was the largest win in Heat franchise history.
Right? Yeah.
So it's a special game for you, special game for the team. And now, you know, last night after the game, Kevin Love heaped a ton of praise onto you for the way you played in his absence. Coach Spoelstra, same sort of deal. Not only your play, but your maturity and being able to go to the bench and still root your team on. And, you know, just a couple games after, you know, making history on the court. Now, last night, you're sidelined. And what I noticed when I'm sitting there watching the game and I'm looking over toward the bench is you're as vocal as anyone, if not more than anyone, rooting on your teammates. So what about your own demeanor and this team's attitude toward that next man up mentality allows you to not only be comfortable moving to the bench after that type of stretch, but also to immediately be one of the vocal guys on the bench rooting on your teammates?
Well, for me, I try to be as vocal as I can. Just try to communicate with my guys, whether I'm playing out there with them or on the bench, you know, whatever I can to do to help the team. That's what I tried to do. And of course, you're going to have, you know, you're human. Of course, you want to play all the minutes if you can and everything. But, you know, it's not that way. So you have to be mature about that in a situation that because everybody wants to win.
Right.
And I know coach is going to put the guys out there that he feels best at the time to win that game. So, you know, whether I'm playing or on the bench, I'm always going to give that infectious energy to try and help the team and not detriment it.
Well, that's the type of player that you are. You bring a ton of energy, and you've had a really interesting career in that you've played for a championship team last year. You've played for some teams that have struggled. Now you're here in Miami. You've played a ton of minutes at some times, been on the bench during some stretches. So what would you say is the thing you've learned the most about yourself this season, whether that's as a player or as a person?
I would say the thing that I learned about myself most is the maturity aspect of what you have to do day in and day out, especially with this organization that you have, that you're playing with, and the mental toughness that you have to bring into the game every single day. You know, For me, I'm not one of the very star players that are, getting the ball multiple times or playing 30 plus minutes every night. So, you have to be mentally tough throughout this time, and just knowing and believing in yourself and the work that you put in, that when your time comes, that you'll capitalize off of it.
Well, you played against this team last year in the finals, and so now you come down here to Miami. You're playing with a new group of guys. Who is the player on this roster that you got down here, you started playing with, and they surprised you the most?
Yes. I really can't dumb that down to just one player. It's a few of them, man. From Orlando Robinson, I didn't know like how good he was, and well conditioned he was, and smart he was. From Bam Adebayo, that's been a great key leader for the team ever since the start of it. Kyle Lowry, when we had him, a great vet leader. Caleb Martin, one of those guys that really didn't know me, but now we're starting to get more and more chemistry together, talking to each other more, which helps us as much too. Jimmy, who's such an outstanding defensive player and smart player in the game of basketball, to where people just don't really realize that, and it just goes on and on, from the coaching staff to the front office, all the way down to me being the guy that's joining a team that's been together for 3, 4 years, and don't let me forget Tyler, who's been here as well. Who's a great basketball player, great guy, smart player as well. Can play multiple positions that we need him to do on the offensive end, and can guard as well. People don't really see his defensive skills and his defensive improvements day in and day out that he has, that we've seen throughout this time. So it's very hard to just dumb it down to just one person, man. Like
That's entirely fair.
this team here is just like. And the thing about it is, like, everybody loves to work.
No, I know you guys are really looking forward to getting Tyler back. Hopefully he can get in for a few games before this postseason run comes around. You mentioned Jimmy and sort of the stuff he does on the defensive end. I'm intrigued because you've played with LeBron James, now you play with Jimmy Butler, and there are some similarities to their game, but there are also some major differences. So I'm wondering, through your eyes, I'm just watching, through your eyes, what sort of similarities do you see between LeBron and Jimmy in the way they attack the game of basketball?
I would say the similarities would be their basketball IQ. Both guys are extremely, extremely smart at the game of basketball, and they know how to pick. They know how to. It's literally for another team, pick your poison, because they're so smart they can figure out a way to manipulate the game to where they can score, or I can get an open shot from my teammates, or literally make. Say if we make a mistake or anything like that, they can key in on what we have to do next in order to get a bucket or get a good shot on the next end. So just seeing those guys work, their minds, their IQs all the way up to par through day in and day out, especially in key games, especially the one yesterday with the New York Knicks.
Right.
Jimmy's very engaged. He's talking. He's telling us, no, go this way, cut this way, do this, do that. Like you can see his mind is working, and he's just communicated with us, and it helps us so much.
Well, they're both guys who are quasi coaches on the floor in that way with the basketball IQ. And LeBron on his podcast recently was
Literally.
talking about what makes Spo such a genius as a coach as well, and sort of the things that he did, gosh, over a decade ago now, right? When LeBron was down here going to the finals that first year and then going into the second year. So as you've come down here to Miami and you're playing for Coach Spo for the first time, what are some of the things that you've seen that make him unique as an elite head coach in this league?
He is such a unique head coach in this league, man. The way his preparation is for every single game, day in and day out, is absolutely amazing. He holds everybody accountable. And his schemes, the way he prepares for a game, is something that I've never seen from my being on teams, from different teams and team, and playing with different guys. The way he can just dial in on what we need, on what he knows is going to win this game for us. And the little things, it's the little things that he really emphasizes to us that you just don't hear from other guys and other coaches, especially in the grit part of the season. That January, February,
Right.
December area where it gets a little gnarly right there. He's still engaged. He's still telling us the little things that really help us win games. And He really challenges you to build your basketball IQ up to par to where he is. So now everybody elevates each other up to where, all right, now we can just do this on the fly now. Now we don't even have to go to coach and say, like, all right, what do we do here? Or what do we do there? No, he's telling us right then and there at shoot around or before the game or anywhere else. So like already have it installed in our brain. Now it's like, all right, now we can go out here and just go out there and execute the game plan. And now everybody eats at the same time.
To where you guys can go on sort of an autopilot mode and already know
Absolutely.
this is where we're supposed to be. All right, just a couple more questions for you before a quick rapid fire, and then I promise to let you go. Intrigued by this, you played with OG Anunoby in college, and you played for Coach Tom Crean, and we all
Yes.
know down here that's D Wade's guy.
Yeah.
So what lessons do you think that Crean instills in players that make them so NBA ready? I mean, he's produced so many great NBA players. And did he ever tell you any sort of D Wade stories while you guys were there? Was he ever using him as an example? Did D Wade ever visit while you were at Indiana?
No, he never visited. He only used them in a couple of examples. If it was like a really big game, I think he used him one time when we went to that Big Ten championship game on the road against Iowa.
Yeah.
For Coach Crean, people say he's a crazy coach, but I cherish the relationship and the things that he helped me with. With Coach Crean, he was always really on point. It was always about attention to detail, learning little things, the importance of film, watching film. What are you watching? What are you trying to take away from this? And then schemes, learning your schemes, learning the proper way of spacing, shooting, getting behind the ball, learning the play so that way you're just doing it off of muscle, just off of muscle memory. You don't have to think about it, And a lot of people don't know this, but when he was recruiting me, I was a young kid and it was my senior year and I had like a really big game. I had like, I think it was like 36 and 15. I had a great game against like, I think it was a number two team in the on the East Coast or something like that. And literally right after the game, he's telling me things about what I can do to improve myself. All right, no, you didn't do this one well. Let's work on getting lower and
Wow.
stepping into your shot. And physically, you missed this rotation. You got to look at this in a different way, man. You got to bring your brain up the park. And then there was a loose ball. I couldn't even dive on the floor for that one. Well,
Wow.
we were already up by like so and so points and everything. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's the little things, man. It's the little things. That ball, you could have got that ball. Why not go for 20 rebounds? Why not go for this? Why not do like strive for that? And it really impressed me because like this is literally after a game. I didn't even take my jersey off. And we're literally back on the court talking about what we can do better, what he sees in me, what I can bring to the table when I come to, if I chose to come to Indiana and everything. And I really cherish that. Like there was no other coach that literally believed in my game and in myself and would take the time out of his day to just talk to me and teach me and just instill in like, all right, I'm gonna come back now. Like I want to see see if you got some improvement done. You don't have to be 100% perfect at it, but I want to see the improvement on it. And I took that to heart. I really cherished that because I was like, wow, this coach really cares about winning and getting his players better. So like that was the one thing that really stuck out to me.
Well, and you say all that, it just reminds me of everything you were just saying about Spo, in that same
Yes.
sort of mentality of constantly wanting to improve the little things with your player and competing at that type of level. This is my last formal question, and then I'm going to get some quick rapid fires and let you roll. You're an NBA champion last year with the Denver Nuggets, right? So you know what it takes to make a deep run into the postseason. You also went up against the Miami Heat, and you saw that team was similarly positioned to where you guys stand right now. So what is it about this year's Miami Heat that shows you, hey, we can make that type of deep run into the conference finals or NBA finals once again?
I think on this team, they got there, so they feel it. They know how it feels. They know what it takes, especially what they had to go through last year, of being in the play-in game, having to win two of those, and then trying to do what was considered the impossible, get all the way to the finals and try to win an NBA championship. So for this team here, I feel like they're just more familiar with it. They're mature. They've been through the playoffs. They've been through the grit, the grind. And so now it's more familiar to where it's like you're being comfortable being uncomfortable, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely, that makes sense. All right, here's your rapid fire so we can get to know you as a person before I let you go.
There you go.
If you had to host your own podcast that was not about sports, what would it be about?
Oh, not about sports?
Not about sports. Or not
That's
about basketball. Not about basketball. It could be a different sport if you're really into another.
it could be football, baseball, or math. I was very good at math, so mathematics will be a really good one.
I like that. A math. Well, maybe we could get into like baseball analytics. That's a way to kind of tie it all
Hey, I'm
together
trying to
for
get
you.
into that. I'm
All
actually
right.
trying to get into
All right. We
that.
have to have some conversations after this heat season ends, though. All right. That's what we'll do. We'll get you back on the pod as a baseball analyst. A celebrity that you'd want to grab a meal with.
Denzel Washington.
Your top three favorite musical artists.
Top three favorite musical artists? Oh, man. One would be Adele.
Ooh. I love Adele as the first answer.
I love Adele. I love Adele. One would be Adele.
Do you have a favorite Adele song? We don't even need it. If you love Adele, we can stick with the Adele questions. Do you have a favorite two or three songs by her?
I can actually look into my archives. I
Get
actually have a whole playlist of her. So
out of here.
it's not like one that actually jumps into mind was off of her album 19,
Yeah.
Don't You Remember?
Dude.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Incredible song. Love that album as well. That album spoke to me, man.
I love that. I love that because Adele's amazing. She's spectacular.
is.
She has one of the best voices in the entire world. All right.
Absolutely.
If I could get a Mount Rushmore of your top four favorite movies, what would they be?
Top four favorite movies, I would say American Gangster, Casino, Goodfellas, and can't really dumb it down to one ball, all the Harry Potter series.
Yes, dude, I think this is the start of a beautiful friendship.
I
Adele
think
and Harry Potter. I think this is working out really well 'cause my wife is about as big of a Harry Potter fan as you'll meet, and so
Really?
I recently read the entire series for the first time and we rewatched all the movies and it was
Yeah.
an absolute blast. What was the last time you tried something for the first time and what was
Try something for the first time. It's been a while, actually.
it?
I
You get
haven't
into
done
a
that.
routine as an NBA player, I would
Yeah, you
imagine.
get into that routine. It's been a while, actually. But I'm always willing to try new things. I think that's one thing, because it kind of gets me out of my comfort zone. And then my heart start racing. You get a little jittery, little butterfly. So I
Yeah.
like that feeling. And then I feel like I'm mature. It might sound weird, but I feel like I'm mature from doing like new things. So I'm like
Yeah.
trying new things because it's like, oh, okay, I tried it. Like, all right, yeah. I felt like I did something like that was just so out of the ordinary, out of my element from my everyday routine of being a basketball player to where it was just like, okay, I like that. That was kind of cool.
I love that. I think that's a great way to look at it and always trying new experiences. And then finally, last question for you. Just what is, I mean, I think we've already gotten a couple, but what is something that people would be surprised to know about you as a human being?
I think a few things that people would be surprised at is that I'm a very, very, very humble, down to earth kind of guy. Like I can talk to a brick wall and I'm very polite to people. And I draw very, very well. Like I'm a very
Really?
good drawer. I can draw any figure. It's people that I really tend to mess up on, it's the shading, but
Yeah.
any type of figure, action figure, object, I can draw to a T.
Do you use that as like a meditative thing at any point, just to kind of like relax a little bit? Do you like kind of taking some space to draw and doodle and stuff like that?
Yeah, I do that. I do that for a little bit out of the season. I try to do it at least 3 to 4 times throughout the season to where I just take a good couple, like a good time off to where I just put some music on, find
Yeah.
some things to draw, like 3 or 4 things to draw, have a little sketch pad, and I just start drawing them out. And it's actually kind of therapeutic for me.
Throw a little Adele on in the background, and it
There
sounds
you
like a
go.
perfect day. That's what I'm saying. All
Exactly.
right. TB Thomas Bryant, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of Miami Mic'd Up. I really enjoyed this conversation and look forward to watching you and the rest of this team during this run down the stretch.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.